Welcome, everybody, to the Totally Transformed podcast. So glad to have you with us today. We are now officially and fully into the Christmas season, wouldn't you say?
I would say so, yes. I would say officially and fully.
Into the Christmas season. My house is fully decorated for Christmas, I want you to know.
Very good.
We have a tradition, my family does, where we go and cut down our Christmas tree the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Right.
And we put it up, and the kids get a lot of fun out of it. It's fun. We take hay rides to go out and get the tree and bring and come back and play in the hay. They got a playground with a big pile of hay on it, and it's just a lot of fun. And so the house is now fully decorated, so we will get maximum Christmas effect this season because it is decorated with, you know, weeks to go until Christmas.
Well, and that's what, you know, is so cool because it's such a short season, really. If you don't get it up right after Thanksgiving, then this week we're going to be in Colorado for a week before Christmas. So for sure, you needed to get it done, you know, as quickly as possible. And that cutting down the tree, I think we did that once or twice, maybe up in New York when you were a little boy.
Remember that? I have a good memory of that.
That is so fun. And it's your personal Christmas tree that you've picked out, no doubt about it.
You saw it in the field in its original state, and now it's in your home.
There you go.
We even got to count. I even counted the rings when we cut it down. Our tree was 10 years old when we cut it down.
Really?
So, you know, it's just kind of interesting to think about. I mean, just thinking about God's creation, that tree grew.
Yeah.
Dating back, it started 10 years ago, and all the life we've lived in that 10 years, and here it is now, a fully grown Christmas tree in our living room.
And then it stays so fresh because you took it right out of the ground.
You got to water it, though.
Yeah, you do have to water it, but just think if somebody ships it from Colorado and it stays in a truck, Christmas tree lot for, you know, who knows how long, you know, before you get it. That's a much better way to do it so it doesn't get so dry.
Last week, we talked about being whole for the holidays. And reminds me of a Christmas song, you know, I'll be whole for Christmas.
I like that. I think we should maybe rewrite that song, you know? We have to get permission.
I'll be whole for Christmas.
You can count on me.
So sorry if that hurts your ears, but, you know, we want to be whole for the holidays so we can fully enjoy them and really get the joy out of the season that it's supposed to bring us.
You're right. So we really started last week on this subject and talked mostly about anxiety and some things that I had learned at a scientific psychological seminar I was at about how anxiety, chronic, affects the chemicals and the hormones and affects you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we really want to continue that today in this week to talk about specifically depression. So
depression, which just to acknowledge, it's a common problem in the holiday season, right?
I mean, it is because, you know, sometimes during the holidays, depression affects us even more. And why is that? Well, you know, if you have lost somebody during this time, or you're going through a really tough relational issue, or your family's not connected or close, or you're sick, just seems to be worse at Christmas because, you know, everybody's making merry and you may not feel so merry. And so we want to continue to talk about how can we reframe that? How can we stay in an attitude of gratitude? What can we do to preempt the enemy who can actually affect our thoughts, try to make them more negative than they are? We've talked about that many times, lie-based thinking about what we're thinking about. And also we want to talk about on this podcast, what is the difference between clinical depression and just sadness? Because if you're clinically depressed, you may need help. You may need to get with a psychologist or a psychiatrist and get some help at least temporarily because, you know, that can be that is an illness that affects the brain and the brain chemistry.
And correct me if I'm wrong, as with anything, acknowledging the problem ahead of time, or the first step is acknowledging that there is a problem.
Right.
So it's okay to admit that you're depressed, but we don't want you to stay there. It's not an excuse to stay there. It's just, let's call it what it is and get help.
Actually, when I was doing my internship at Boston University, you might remember this, I was asked to speak for Campus Crusade for Christ that had an organization on the Harvard campus because my internship was at Boston University near there. The subject they gave me is, can Christians be depressed? And we answered that question. Just because we're Christians, that doesn't mean we're not still human. We have, as you know, and we understand through these podcasts and our understanding, we are spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. So if your soul is wounded and you're thinking negatively all the time, your mind that thinks, imagines, and remembers, if you have wounds from the past that have not been addressed and healed, the word says in 3 John 2, we prosper and we're in health as our soul prospers. So the soul can affect the body. If you're not feeling well, the body can affect the emotions, which is part of the soul. And if you're not staying in the word and even in a sacrifice of prayer and transforming, letting the Lord transform your mind and keeping your spirit strong, each can affect each other. And so what we're saying here is that depression can happen to Christians. We hope it doesn't. We feel like if you stay in the 5 hours to victory to your thought life, which we've presented many times, if you realize that things that happen to you are either discipline, persecution, or discipline, persecution, or trial and tribulation, and the Lord says that we will have all those things. We've said discipline should be less if you're really a disciple and you're following hard after the Lord and you're responding to the Holy Spirit and you're repenting. Like we said before, you don't spank your children or discipline them when they're obedient. But persecution, if you're sold out for Christ, is going to happen, and so is tribulation. You know, John 16 says, in this world, you'll have trial and tribulation, Jesus speaking, but be of good cheer. I've devoided it of its ability to harm you. So it's your mind frame, like we said in the last podcast, even at the seminar, they said, if you can reframe your mind and your thinking that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, if you can remove the lie-based thinking, the attack of the enemy who is the father of lies, by taking your delegated authority over him, and as we said last time, if you can stay into an attitude of gratitude and rejoice, even if it's a sacrifice of praise, they said, even from a non-spiritual perspective, that the chemicals released will be not as inflammatory and detrimental to your system, and you'll actually produce positive things like endorphins and things that help you, and you'll get better more quickly.
And just some statistics about depression here, in case you suffer from it or you know someone that does, you or they are not alone.
That's right. Depression
affects between 13.1 and 14.2 million Americans each year.
And it's probably higher now because this was a talk I did several years ago, but let's just say at least that many.
Well, and that is, you know, what is that? That's like basically a third of a percent of the whole population.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Fewer than half of people suffering from depressions seek treatment. So there's, you know, at least 6.5-7 million people that have depression that let it go untreated.
And I think that's particularly applicable to the church and the Christian population that we serve and minister to, because there's this lie Satan tells you, well, you shouldn't be depressed. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice in the Lord always, which is, you know, we're going to talk about that today, that you can do these things, but sometimes it can be a genetic predisposition to depression that was passed down to you. And I don't even think we have to be subject to that, but we have to get healing either sovereignly by the Lord or through medication or through doctors if you're suffering the symptoms of depression, and not think, well, just because I'm a Christian, I should not suffer this, and therefore I can't tell anybody, or I can't go to a doctor, or I should be mighty Christian, and this is terrible. I need to be guilty and ashamed. You're not guilty and ashamed if you have a broken leg and you have to go get it cast. You're not guilty and ashamed if you have a thyroid issue or a gastro issue. You go and seek a doctor, as well as seeking the great physician, Jesus Christ, and the Word.
Yeah.
So it's just when we can't see the soul and the mental apparatus, because, you know, we can see broken bodies and hurt bodies, and that's acceptable, but we can't see the inside, and that seems to somehow not be acceptable, which is a lie.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
About 1 out of every 4 women and 1 out of every 10 men develop depression during their lifetime. So it's a little bit more common among women, and but think still about that. Prevalent among men.
Women are relationship-oriented, feeling-oriented, mm-hmm. So they're not as fact-oriented as men. They take things a little bit harder.
Right. Yeah. And here's some potential symptoms of depression. Maybe you have a depressed mood. You have diminished interest or pleasure in activities, significant change in your appetite or your weight. Can't sleep well. You got disturbances at night. Restlessness or sluggishness. Fatigue or loss of energy, unexplained aches or pains, lack of concentration or indecision, feelings of worthlessness or inappropriate guilt, and thoughts of death or suicide.
And actually, in the Diagnostic Manual for Psychological Disorders, you only have to be exhibiting five of those. There's like, I think, 10 here. Five of those, any five in any order, would be a red flag that you potentially are moving from a sad event or a crisis into clinical depression. And we're going to define the difference.
Yeah, what is the difference between just being naturally sad, which is a normal emotion, and actually being clinically depressed?
Well, let's take the sad, the lesser, first. Sadness can be a normal reaction to life. Jesus wept when they found out they cut John the Baptist's head off. We can be sad, and we live in this life. You know, the Lord has removed the sting of death by knowing that if our loved ones are saved, we're going to see them and live with them for eternity. But that doesn't mean in this life you don't feel the loss and you feel normal sadness. Usually sadness is a single, mainly sad mood. It isn't, you know, pervasive, and it doesn't affect all the things that you just said. You just have an emotional feeling of sadness. It's brief. It rarely produces suicidal thoughts, and it usually responds to a good listener or taking some time to heal. You know, there are several stages after loss. There is anger, there's denial, there's bargaining, there's depression. I mean, we go through these stages, and you might not go through them in any particular order, and you might feel like you get on top of it, and then you hear a song or something that reminds you if you've lost a loved one or if you've gone through a divorce or something. And then you kind of go back down to it. But the point is, it's like a reaction. It's not more emotion than the situation calls for and you're able to deal with it. If it's clinical depression, it's an actual illness. There's multiple effects on your mood, your thoughts, your bodily functions. You could be in pain. It's persistent. It can result in suicide. If you have suicidal thoughts, you need to take those seriously, particularly if you're trying to think of a plan of how you want to do that. You need to get with a professional and find out, you know, if you're in a clinical depression and what's driving that suicide. We believe the cycle of rejection is the cycle of suicide. You've had a root of rejection, which means you haven't gotten the love you need and the way you needed it from whom you needed it at the time you needed it. That gives you a fear of rejection, a sense of rejection from people that aren't there, and virtually you eventually reject yourself and say, hey, nobody loves me, I'm not lovable. You feel disconnected from God, though he said he'd never leave you or forsake you. You could never remove yourself from his love. And then you say, I'm worthless, I might as well just take myself out. So if you're thinking suicide, you know, I just want to say to those people, if I'm speaking to someone like that, there's a suicide hotline in your area. I don't know where you are, but you can get a suicide hotline. You can call 911 all the time. They will send someone right to you if you feel like you're in danger. And I just want you to remember that if you're in a suicidal downward spiral, the enemy is lying to you. Jesus would have died if you were the only one on the planet. He loves you. He knows, even if you've been through tough times that are not your fault, but it becomes your responsibility to know that he can take everything that Satan meant for evil and turn it to good, and he has a destiny and a purpose for you from the time he formed you in your mother's womb. He saw you even before creation. And clinical depression will respond to specific medication and psychotherapy. Research has shown if you get what's called antidepressants, there's several of them, there's SSRIs or SNRIs. In other words, they help with the chemicals of serotonin, norepinephrine, dopamine, these things that if you don't have enough of, can actually cause you to have a mood shift and feel sad and suicidal and psychotherapy. You put those two things together, it has been proven that that'll bring people then the best way out of a clinical depression if they do what they're told to do and take their medication. So it's so different. One needs a professional involved. One needs a professional that can define. There's several kinds of depression we can talk about too. And if you're in a depression or if you are just sad and why, they can help you connect with a medical doctor and send a referral for even a short term. And you know what, Lance? I find Christians that feel like they're doing something wrong if they take an emotional or mental pill. And I say, why? If you break a leg and take pain pills or you take an anti-inflammatory because you have a herniated disc to help the symptoms, you don't have to dismiss that God is still healing you.
Well, and there's a lot of myths out there in the Christian world.
Yeah.
Like Christians never get depressed or should never get depressed.
Right.
You know, you can just overcome depression just by your willpower. Just buck up, Chappie. You know, it'll all be better if you just get over it, you know?
Right.
How about once we're depressed, we're always depressed. I don't need therapy. I have Jesus, yeah. Right?
Right.
I mean, that'd be like saying, I don't need to go to the doctor for my cut that's bleeding because I have Jesus. Yes, we want to go to him first and ask for healing and believe that we're healed. But therapy is available. And it's just as important for the invisible parts of us as it is for the visible parts of us.
And just let me say something about that point. I don't need therapy. I have Jesus. That's our point. If you're wounded and hurt, which was out of your control when you were a child or even when you were an adult, that's when you need Jesus to heal the wound.
Right.
So we're glad you have Jesus.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean that there can't be a wound where lies are generating from them about what someone said to you or how they treated you that do not line up with the Word of God. And so that's what therapy and even the chemical support can help.
And it doesn't mean that you don't have any faith.
That's right.
If you get help and right. You maybe take medication or whatever is necessary.
Right.
It just means that you're exhausting all means possible to get healthy.
What I look at it is like this. God gave man wisdom. Man came up with that wisdom on how to treat different illnesses and physical, emotional, mental problems. And that is still from God because God gave man wisdom to do it. Now you have to make sure that you're with a good doctor and you're taking the right things and, you know, all that kind of thing. I always say kind of be your own doctor as far as research today because of the internet. So you can be equipped to ask your doctor good questions and be on top of your care. But don't believe that, you know, you're not being healed by God just because he doesn't sovereignly and instantly heal you. That's what some people think. They say, God, you know, the joke, the guy was in the flood and he prayed and he got to the top of his house and the water got higher and higher and he kept praying, God, well, why did you save me? Well, he sends him a boat. No, I want God to help be sovereignly. Then he sends him a plane or a helicopter. No, that's not good enough. I want God to do it and so forth. And he dies. He gets to heaven and dies and says, God, why didn't you save me? We've got to look at all forms of help as coming from God. I look to the hills. From whence cometh our help?
And how about this? Give him glory for the things that come through man,
yeah.
You know, because God enables, he is the author of all knowledge.
And I pray, if I'm taking a medication, I say, God, help that medication to go all the systems that it should go. I rebuke all negative symptomology and let it be a healer. And then the last one, myth, because I'm a certain culture, I shouldn't be depressed. Like if you're Hispanic or African-American or Caucasian, whatever your culture or your race, how that plays in. Sometimes it's fed in with the culture or race that, no, this could never affect you. And that's not true either, because we're all, first and foremost, what? Human beings, right?
Right.
Also, I want to apprise our audience that there are three, or really four different types of depression. There's a major depression, which, as I said, is characterized by at least five of the symptoms that Lance read. Then there's dysthymia, D-Y-S-T-H-Y-M-I-A, dysthymia. That's a milder form of depression lasting two or more years. So it's milder, but it's chronic. Then there's bipolar depression, which includes both highs and lows. In other words, you have manic and depressive episodes. And that might require a mood stabilizer medication as well as antidepressants. And then some people are affected by what's called SAD, seasonal affective disorder, SAD, which is a type of mood fluctuation that follows a seasonal rhythm with symptoms commonly occurring in the winter months and diminishing in the spring or summer. So that gives you some professional psychological insight, since I am a licensed psychologist. But mostly what we want to end this podcast on is that the enemy is going to look at Christmas potentially as an opportune time. And sometimes it is an opportune time for our listeners, because if you've had a very current and recent event that was sad, or there's some reason from your past that Christmas doesn't seem as jolly, you might need to look into that and get some healing for it. But we've already said, if you reframe your thoughts, if you rejoice, if you look at the reason for this season with Christ, who is wanting for you to rejoice and be happy. I think we said on the last podcast, if you're with family that are difficult to be with, difficult people. We gave a couple books last time, Irregular People, How to Love Difficult People, how you can take authority over the demonic realm, not over the person's will, but over the demonic realm that's affecting their will, such as anger or anxiety or control. And you have a delegated authority. So you can go in with your light in life in a proactive, preemptive way, and tell the enemy, get out. I'm not going to be affected by this person. I'm not going to let them bring me down to their level, because I can stay in the love of God, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. I can think on whatsoever things are good, honest, and true. And as I've said in this podcast, and the last one, as we've said, that helps your body to produce the right chemicals and hormones that keeps you in an up mood if you don't have an actual clinical depression.
And I'll say this, just making time for the Lord and spending time in His presence and reading the Word, while that may be a disciplined choice, an act of your will to do that, it is amazing how much of an effect that has on your mood and just your ability to navigate life and function well. And there's probably a whole host of reasons why that is, not the least of which is that you're engaging with God Himself and welcoming Him into your life. But I think there's probably a lot of health effects that spending time with the Lord has that maybe aren't necessarily proven by science, but you can feel the difference when you've spent time in His presence.
Well, actually, they have taken picture of the brain when you're meditating or in prayer. It lights up in different areas, talking about producing chemicals and hormones that lighten your mood rather than depress your mood. And so the bottom line is, you can decide to get with the Lord, particularly if you need His grace. Grace is the ability to do in the supernatural what you can't do in the natural. There's no temptation that's taken you that God is not giving in His grace to help you through it. He'll never give you more than you can stand. And what you're saying is, we can plug into Him. If you're feeling really dry or you can't cope because of relatives, you can plug into Him and say, Lord, I need Your help. I look to the hills to You. From whence cometh my help? And He will fill you, as Psalm 1, He will make you a well-watered garden that can other people can draw from, rather than a dry desert. But during the holidays, no news to you, we often let the stress and the busyness and the expectation of others take us over, to the point where stress then causes cortisol releases and other things that are detrimental to the system. And we really have to remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you don't make time for His strength, since the joy of the Lord is your strength, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's like He's standing there. Why don't you turn to Me? Why don't you ask for My help? I want to help you. If we're going to be independent and try to take it on by itself and then believe all the lies of the enemy and not deal with our hurts and wounds, then obviously we're not in the world, but we are of the world. And Satan and his demons are very active in trying to oppress us.
I literally just had this verse come up on my phone, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
And let's finish it. Wait. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths.
Right.
Amazing. confirmation.
Let's agree together in prayer, and we invite you to bring anything that might be making you sad today or might be a source of your depression if you're struggling with that today. We want to agree with you today,
yes,
that
Lord.
God will come in and
thank
heal
you,
that. So God, we just lift up to you all of our listeners, God.
Thank you, Lord.
In this holiday season, Lord, in whatever it is that we're struggling with today, we lay it on your altar. We give it to you, Lord, and we ask you for a supernatural work in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul, in our bodies to bring us out of that depression. Lord, we just ask that you would bring us to resources and help in our area that can come alongside of us and encourage us in you and help us process whatever it is that seems to knock us down this time of year. Lord, we just dedicate and choose to fix our eyes on you and really not allow the enemy to steal joy,
Lord,
from us this
thank
holiday
you,
season. We take authority over
yes.
him, put him on
behalf
notice
of
and
people.
Say, in Jesus' name, we will enjoy the Christmas season and everything that it means for our salvation and our relationship with God and our relationship with others. In Jesus' name.
And you know, Lance, I just heard in my spirit someone saying, well, if they knew what I was dealing with, that's easy for them, but if they knew what I was dealing with, and I immediately remembered listening to Corrie Ten Boom. She was a evangelist that was part of Auschwitz, Germany during the war and was in concentration camps, lost a couple members of her family there. And I heard her speak many years post this, and this is what she said. She said, there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. So if you believe that and trust in that Proverbs scripture that Lance just read, she went through hell on earth. All the Jews being killed, she was subject to that. She was in hiding. She was terrified. She lost her family members, and she came out trusting the Lord. You can do the same thing. So we just thank you, Lord. I agree with Lance's prayer, and I bless every listener in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today, and Merry Christmas as you go on towards wholeness during the holidays.
Amen.